But we realized we bought our warm coats in Missouri. And the warmest coats in Missouri are nothing like the warm coats up here. So we may have to buy coats up here next time, I don't know. It's good. Well, it's been a good week being with you. We're excited to be here, and just despite the weather, we said last week we really felt like God should send us to Florida in the winter and up here in the summer, but he had other plans, so that's the way it is. If you haven't heard last week's message, I really encourage you to go listen to it. Each of these is going to build on the week before, so just I encourage you to go back and catch up if you haven't. Last week we talked about the God of peace and the fact that one of the names of God is peace. Whenever a name is attached to God, it's always a description of his character. So God doesn't have to try to be at peace. He is peace. It exudes from his being. And so when you get to know him, you get to know a peace that isn't natural. It doesn't fit well in our society. We talked last week that the English definition of peace is really problematic. If you went back and looked at the dictionaries, every dictionary definition of the English word peace talks about the absence of conflict, the absence of war, the absence of... It's all of the definition of peace is what isn't. And the problem is biblical peace isn't what isn't, it's what is. Yes. And it's the presence of God in us, and it's a peace in us that isn't affected by what's going on around us. And so too often in our Western minds, we think of peace as this external thing that we've got to get everything in control and the kids got to be right and all that stuff has got to happen and then we can have peace. But the truth is that the kind of peace we're speaking about is completely unmoved by what's going on around us. We need that kind of peace right now in our nation, in our lives, in our hearts, in the body of Christ. And so peace for us is the presence of the person, the presence of God in us. So peace literally is equated with his presence. If you're not experiencing peace, you're not actually experiencing the presence of God. Because if you experience the presence of God, one of the manifestations of his presence in you will be peace. And this morning we want to push that just a little bit further. And we want to talk about the gospel of peace. So last week was the God of peace. This week is the gospel of peace. When I'm up in February, we're going to talk about peace as a fruit of the Spirit and peace, the kingdom of peace, and the never decreasing peace that comes with the kingdom. Anyway, we'll get there later. But gospel of peace. Father, help us this morning as we look at this to stir our hearts with an expectancy for more. We want to understand what you're saying in us and what you're doing. We want to get the connection between your peace and the gospel we carry. Help us understand on a new level this morning, and we pray that in Jesus' name.
Amen.
I think in your bulletins you have the Isaiah 52 passage. How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace and brings good news of happiness and announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns. Throughout Scripture, we find a strong connection between this idea of the gospel and the idea of peace. It's so strong that when the rabbis translated the Hebrew scriptures from Hebrew into Greek, they did something really interesting. They often translated the word shalom into the word sotera, which is salvation. Sometimes they used Irene, sometimes used Soterra, because there is such a close connection between the idea of our salvation and being at peace. Salvation should bring peace.
Amen.
Because the gospel we carry is a gospel of peace. And I believe in our Western culture particularly, we've disconnected peace from the gospel. We've disconnected this idea, and we tend to bring a gospel of rescue rather than a gospel of peace. And I believe that God wants to move us back to a place where the gospel we preach, where the gospel we speak, is this depth of peace with God and then peace that carries out into the rest of our lives. And so we want to see a gospel of peace. The word shalom, the Hebrew word, actually is from a root psyllium, which means to pay, to fill, or to fulfill. And so salvation is this complete wholeness that's paid for by God, that's paid for by the blood of Jesus. And it brings us into a place where we're at peace with God and we're at peace with one another in the body of Christ. What would it be like if the body of Christ actually lived in peace? I don't know if you've been around church a lot. We can get into this craziness with each other that has more to do with conflict than does with peace. And yet I believe the gospel we carry is a gospel that is supposed to be founded and established in peace. And this idea of peace comes right through the whole, literally the whole of the New Testament and right through the whole of the Old Testament, is this idea that we come into peace. We come into a reconciliation with God. So the gospel of peace is the reconciliation that we have through the blood of Jesus, where we come into perfect alignment with God and we're completely at peace with Him. So His peace literally is His presence. This morning, I believe we want to experience the presence of His peace. Last week, one of the things I enjoyed about being here with you was how much unity there was in the room. Now, I think some of that was new carpet. I mean, we like things fresh. We like things refreshed, you know. But I think also there was this sense of oneness among us, and that is the presence of His peace. When the presence of God comes into a place, if you look back in church history, the history of revivals, one of the things that always marks the presence of real revival is a unity among the body of Christ. What is it that brings that unity? It's peace. There's a peace among us that creates this feeling of being together, and it takes down walls and it takes down barriers, and we begin to walk with a real awareness of God's love for one another, and that's what the gospel of peace produces. So then we go over into Ephesians, and Paul makes this incredible statement, having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, Ephesians 6:15. Having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel and peace. Yeah. Isn't it intriguing that the context of that verse is spiritual warfare? The context of that verse is putting all the armor on yourself so that you're prepared for spiritual warfare. But in the midst of a dissertation on spiritual warfare, he says your feet need to be shod with the gospel of peace. There's a preparation that we have to do. There's something that we carry. I think Paul clearly had the Isaiah passage in mind when he wrote this, because, I mean, he's obviously a student of the Old Testament scriptures, so he would have had that in mind. But he's saying here that when hell attacks, when you're in conflict, the thing that will secure you is your feet shod the right shoes on with the gospel of peace. So in the midst of conflict, if your feet are at peace, you're at peace. If you're standing on peace, you're at peace. If you're in the midst of peace, you're at peace. Have you ever been somewhere and had the wrong shoes on? I remember Sally and I were working in the north of Kenya up in the desert, and it was pretty harsh environment. But everybody there, all the workmen, all of us wore flip-flops because that was just what we worked in. That's what we wore every day. And so one day the MAF plane flies in, and there's a couple of guys that are going to an outstation way up on the Ethiopian border, and they asked me to come with them because they wanted to lay out where the mission station was going to be and where all the buildings were going to be. And so I'm in for a ride, so I jump on the plane with them. We're halfway there when I look at my feet and realize I have flip-flops on. And we're going into the bush. And I spent the next day and a half walking through thorn bush with flip-flops on, wishing every step that I'd taken boots instead. I had the wrong shoes on. And a lot of times I think we're going into conflict situations and we're not secure in his peace. And so we get beat around by stuff that's going on because we're not walking secure in his peace. The Roman soldiers is where that feet shod comes from. They had to have sandals on, often nails in the bottom for grip, but they were securely bound to them. The word shod that's used here is the same word that we would use for shoeing horses. Literally, these shoes are bound to your feet. They're nailed to your feet. That they're on there firmly. So the gospel of peace that we walk in needs to be so firmly anchored into us that nothing can shift us off of that foundation. Nothing can move that away from us. And God's looking for a people that will do that preparation. The verb that's used there for shod, the tense is do it yourself. The tense is an aorist tense, which means do this yourself. In other words, I can't put the gospel of peace on your feet. You've got to put it on your feet. You've got to securely anchor yourself in peace. It's your decision to decide that my foundation is going to be the gospel of peace and not the circumstances around me. So it's having your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel is literally a command for you to do it and to get this ready in you. So it's a preparation God has for us. And I believe this morning that he wants to do a preparation that's a decision in us, where we're saying, I am going to do this, and I'm going to establish myself in a place of peace where what I carry is peace and the message I carry is peace. Did you know you can't share the gospel of peace if your feet aren't secure on peace? You're going to end up sharing some form of the gospel, some form of a theory or conspiracy or fear or something. One of the fascinating parts of revival history to me is in the earliest stages of revival in this nation, Jonathan Edwards, the most famous quote from Jonathan Edwards' revival in the First Great Awakening was a sermon called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. And it was said that people put scratch marks, claw marks, in the seat in front of them to keep from slipping into hell. It was that powerful a demonstration of hell. And that's what birthed that first move of awakening in our nation. The second great awakening was marked by three or four different people, but in the U.S., it was marked by Charles Finney. Charles Finney was a lawyer, and he believed that if you would sit and wait, the Holy Spirit would come. And so he had a tarrying bench, and his revivals were people going in front and praying and preparing and opening heaven, and then the Holy Spirit would come, and the Holy Spirit then would draw people into salvation. That was finished. The next great move is Azusa Street, where the presence of God is going out, and there's healing, and there's incredible peace being released. And you can watch the transition in these moves of God moving toward more of a clear gospel of peace being demonstrated. And you can watch it happen through church history. And I believe that's God opening us up to a gospel message that is based on his goodness, based on his presence, based on his peace. Paul said this, he said, therefore, knowing the fear of the Lord, we persuade men. What's he saying? He's saying, for you and me, one of the great motivators to share the gospel of peace is that we know the fear of the Lord. But the fear of the Lord isn't the message, it's the motivation. We know hell's real, it becomes the motivation to share the gospel of peace. But the gospel we share is the demonstration of the goodness of God. Sally and I have watched hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people run to the altar when they witness the goodness of God, when they witness God at work. Why? Because people want to know that God. Now, they still got to get their life sorted out. They still got to deal with their sin. They still got to deal with repentance. That's all. None of that changes. But if we understand that the gospel we carry is a gospel of peace, then in the midst of conflict, people are going to be looking around and they can't figure out why you're not bothered like everybody else is. One of my great concerns when we get the gospel too politicized. I'm not anti-voting, not anti-American. When we get so politicized that we're no longer communicating peace. And we communicate a political perspective instead of a God of peace. Yeah. I know I'm in a great state, by the way. If I had a choice, I would live in South Dakota. Christy Noom's got my vote any day. But we got to be careful that we don't politicize the gospel. We got to carry a gospel of peace that crosses any divide or any division. We're going to get to that in a little bit. There's a gospel of peace. So this word preparation has two primary meanings, both of which are important. The first primary meaning is steadiness, and the second is readiness. So this the word preparation has those two pieces inherent in the word. And the first is a steadiness. Your feet need to be planted on peace so that you're steady and stable in the midst of what's ever going on around you. Scripture says this. It says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So the foundation of our steadiness is that we have peace with God. And Colossians 3:15, it talks about letting peace rule in your heart, be the arbitrator in your heart. Steadiness is that everything you do needs to be measured by where your peace is. We're going to get to this more in one of the others, but it's still important. Have you ever been in that decision-making process and one thing you just had peace in and the other you didn't have peace in? That's letting peace rule. It's staying so at peace that whatever I have peace to do, that's the direction I go. Let peace rule in your heart.
Yeah.
You will be stable for your entire life if you let peace rule. If we let circumstances rule, or we let what somebody else thinks we ought to do rule, or we let the conflict rule, or we let circumstances rule, we were always going to be tossed around and we'll never be anchored in peace. We'll never have our feet shod in the gospel of peace. But when we let peace rule, then every decision we make is governed by the presence of God at work in us. Sometimes we want to hear the audible voice of God, and I love the audible voice. I've heard it a few times. I would love for God to shout directions every time we need direction. But sometimes it's his peace that is the arbitrator. His peace is the ruler. So if you don't have peace about that purchase you're about to make, don't make it. If you don't have peace about this circumstance or this situation or this course you're walking into or whatever you're doing, if you don't have peace, walk away. Because peace has to be the ruler in our heart. Having your feet shod with the gospel of peace is having peace as the foundation piece. That's your steadiness. That's your plumb line. That's the place we stand with absolute security. The second part of that same word is readiness. So we always have our sandals on. We always have peace on. We always have a reason to give a testimony. So the steadiness is that preparation in you. The readiness is this message we carry, this gospel we carry, always being ready to share the testimony or pray for somebody or prophesy over somebody or looking for opportunities for this peace that's in you, the presence of God that's in you to get out of you, to get into the environment around you. We're looking for those opportunities to share this life that's in us because the gospel of peace is incredible. You can walk in a room and change the atmosphere because of the peace you carry. Now, it's the presence of God. It's the Holy Spirit. You can put a lot of names on that you carry, and they're all true. They're all part of it. But the foundation, the sandals you wear, the thing you stand on that gives you absolute security is his peace, the gospel of peace. And the more that's my anchor, the more what I share is going to have effect on other people. As a pastor of a church, the challenge we have is to keep your heart and your attitude right in every circumstance. And after people know you a little while, they figure out where your buttons are. And they figure out if you press that button, they get a certain reaction. Well, the guard of that is don't lose your peace. If I feel irritation coming up in me, I'm about ready to step off my shoes of peace and take on an attitude that's ungodly. But if you let peace rule, then you never let that emotion get past, oh, hang on a minute, let peace rule. I stay in this place of peace. And then what comes out of you is going to have life and health and hope. Peter says this, the word which he sent to the sons of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. This is Peter. Cornelius has had a vision. Cornelius has sent people to find Peter. And Peter's up on a roof. And the sheet comes down. And there's all these unclean animals. And he is not at peace until the angel says, get up, kill, and eat. And suddenly, the peace becomes an obedience to what God said. Now he follows, you know, Cornelius' servants. He gets into Cornelius' household, and he shares this incredible message of the gospel with the Gentiles. And the Holy Spirit falls on the Gentiles, the gospel of peace. And Peter's description of that gospel is preaching peace through Jesus Christ. What are you preaching? What are you preaching? What are you preaching? The world needs to hear. Huron needs to hear. What are you preaching? What's the gospel you're preaching? If it's anything other than peace through the blood of Jesus, you got the wrong gospel. Hello? He's bringing us back to a foundation that I believe is going to be the foundation of this next move of the Spirit, which is going to be a move where the body of Christ walks in the power and presence, the power and peace of the gospel. And we're going to see the most extraordinary stuff happen. See the most extraordinary breakthroughs. Let's just do something real quick. If you've been having trouble holding on to peace, stand up right now. Now, I was going to get the other half to pray for that half, and I've ran out of half. Put your hand on your heart. Holy Spirit, come. Forgive us for preaching a gospel other than your gospel. Forgive us for using manipulation and fear. Forgive us for living in fear. Father, we want to be carriers of your peace and your presence.
Yes.
So Holy Spirit, I'm asking right now that you would come and do your work in each heart in this room. One of the things the Holy Spirit does is the Holy Spirit produces fruit in us. The Holy Spirit only ever does what he sees of Jesus. So the fruit of the Spirit are the character traits of Jesus that the Holy Spirit works into us. And one of those character traits of Jesus that the Holy Spirit is working into us is peace. Love, joy, peace, patience. It goes down through the list of the fruit of the Spirit. Those are the character traits of Jesus that are produced in you because you let the Holy Spirit conform you into the image of Christ. And the more you're conformed into the image of Christ, the more your life is going to manifest peace, because that's what Jesus' life manifests. And if Jesus could be asleep in the boat in the storm, you can be asleep in the boat in a storm. And wake up and say, peace be still. Because he's at work in you. So Holy Spirit, come right now in each one of us. And just manifest your peace. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. One more verse. Ephesians 2. But now in Christ, you who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made us both one and broken down the dividing wall of hostility. So there's two pieces in this verse. The first one is it's the enmity, it's the conflict between God and sinners. And in Christ, repentant sinners come back into right relationship with God, and they're now at peace with God. So that's the vertical part of this verse. The second part of that verse is that those of us who have been touched by God's peace can now cross racial, cultural, historical barriers and bring peace. We can even cross political barriers and bring peace. How much do we believe in the gospel of peace? Gospel of peace is not compromise. It's the presence of the living God bringing peace into circumstances where there was conflict. We too often want to find peace by going to a lowest common denominator instead of going to the Prince of Peace and letting him control our lives and lead us where we can see real reconciliation. I believe God is working in this body to anchor your feet in the gospel of peace. Two more pieces and then we're going to pray. Peace in the New Testament is presented two ways. I'm going to use a word that we may use these words. It's presented first objectively. Objective truth is truth that's based on facts. Objectively, through the blood of Jesus, we have restored relationship with God and we're at peace with God. That's the objective truth of peace. But Scripture also presents a subjective, which is based on my experience. He doesn't want us just with a theological grasp of something that happened. He wants us to actually experience the God of peace at work in us, in our lives, in our circumstances, in our families, in our home, in our situations, in our businesses. We want objective, but I also want subjective peace. I want subjective peace where your experience is you walked into conflict and you came out with peace. You walked into turmoil and you came out with peace because the God of peace in you manifested through you as peace. You went into a family situation where there was conflict, but you carried so much peace that your presence actually changed the way that family dynamic worked. Can we believe for peace to have that kind of effect? Can we get past just the, yes, we know theologically that's true. I love theological truth. I love it. I love theology. But I want that theology to become the practical living reality of my life. I want my feet secure in the gospel of peace. And I want the message we carry to be a message that the God of peace wants to invade your circumstances and he wants to bring you to a place of peace. Doesn't mean Christian life is always going to be easy. If you believe that, you believe anything. The reality is you have to hang on to your feet shod with the gospel of peace. In the midst of conflict, you've got to run back to the anchor of peace and say, this is where I belong, this is where I live. in the most difficult situations in Sally and my life, we have had to go back to the anchor of peace. We've experienced the depth of peace. And we'll get to that story later. But we've experienced a depth of peace that was shocking to us, because we didn't know that much peace was available. But in circumstances you're in, we had to have it to do what we had to do. And God met us with a depth of peace that was so tangible that everybody around us at that moment turned and looked at us and said, "What is that?" Because the presence of God so fell in the place that his tangible, physical peace was there. I want that for you. I want that for me. I want that to be the foundation we carry in our lives. Worship team, would come join us, would you? I want to pray one more thing before we go. If you've been struggling with your memory, would you stand up right now?
Struggling with what?
Your memory. Oh. If you're standing, could you put your hand up for me? Just put it up. And I want somebody from that sitting to just go to each of these hands and bring it down and just stand with them. We're gonna contend for this a minute. For whatever reason, God's given us I've got faith for this thing right now. And when you get to that person, just kind of take their hand down so that I know somebody's with everybody. You're going to come up here. Thank you. Okay. I need one more lady back over here to help me. One of the young people, somebody, just there we are. You going over to her? Good, 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 good. And I need a couple more people over here. Could you guys come over here and get these two ladies? Would you help there with one of them? Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Father, we speak to these memories right now in Jesus' name. Jesus, put your hand gently on their head right now. Father, in your name, we just speak to these memories. And we say, be restored in Jesus' name. Every nerve connection be restored. The ability to retain information be restored now in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, come. In each of these lives, in each of these circumstances, Father, cause their memories to be like they were. We break any trauma that might have affected memory. And we release your healing now in memories. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Not sure why I was supposed to do that this morning, but I was. So. All right. Now just go into receiving mode for a minute. And let's just receive this peace. Now, if your feet haven't been very steady lately, you might need to reach down and tie your shoes. Just as a prophetic act. Get those feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Holy Spirit, come. We worship you right now. We worship you because you're worthy of worship. Father, we just declare right now, come Holy Spirit. Release your peace in us and among us. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, we deliberately put on this gospel of peace. Prepare our feet to carry your message to this city, to our neighbors, to our family, to the places we work. We set ourselves to be carriers of your peace. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Let's worship. Everybody be back. you guys are blessed. We'll be back up in another couple of weeks, first two Sundays in February. We're so looking forward to being with you. We do have our books out on the table out there. If you feel prompted to get one, read it. Just encourage you to do that. We do it because we want to get the message out to people. So there's somebody out on the book. Be free. Love on each other. Greet each other. Spend a few minutes. Stay warm.